When my father died, everyone used to tell me, "Don't worry, Trig, he's in a better place." Guess what? That didn't help me at all. Welcome to the Creativity Podcast with David Trig. After my father died, I was a mess. The man of my dreams, the man who taught me how to play the guitar, how to sing, how to love my wife, was suddenly gone. And even though people often want to give you encouraging words, truly is that most of them just don't touch you like they think they do. But you know what did touch my heart? It was the stories of how my father touched people's lives. I remember this one lady that came up to me and said, "Your father gave my son a mechanical pencil." And I thought, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, she told me, "My son has ADHD and nobody cared for him except your father." These are the kind of stories that really move me because they reminded me of who my father was, of his giving nature, his patient heart, his joyful attitude. And when you're experiencing loss, what you want to know is that there is hope for the future. Yes, it is nice to know that your loved one is in a better place or that people are praying for you. Of course, that is wonderful. But what all of us long to know in the middle of loss is that there is hope for the future. And yet, many times when we experience loss of relationship or of a dream, maybe of our health or how things used to be, we have many ways that we can react. There are many ways in which we can respond. And I want to give you at least four ways that I see in this passage that I think is very, very important, that talks about four ways in which we can tend to respond when facing loss. Let me first tell you the story. The early church in Acts chapter 8 is just beginning to come to life. But this man named Saul, who later became Paul, was persecuting and killing anyone that would be called by the name of Christ. And so he killed Stephen. He persecuted the church. He went door to door, ravaging, it says, the cities, looking to kill and destroy the early church. And so in the middle of all this chaos, people responded to the same event in many different ways. One event, the death of Stephen, cost everyone to react in one of four ways. And I want to ask you, which way do you think you would respond if you were in their shoes? The first thing that some people did is they stayed behind. It says in the Bible that when Stephen dies and the church is persecuted, the apostles stayed back in the city of Jerusalem. The second thing, some people grieved. They cried for the loss of Stephen. And loss is the beginning of recovery. When we experience loss, when we go through a challenging time, we think that this is the end of your life, right? It's difficult to see the silver lining when you've lost a job. I remember about 8 years ago, I was fired from a job that I sort of liked, I sort of didn't. But even though it was a painful experience, I remember one of the people that I really respected, a mentor of mine, she said to me, "Trig, this may be a blessing in disguise. After leaving this job, I got a clarity that I didn't know I had." I remember calling my wife on the way home, crying. And yet, even as I was in the middle of my fear of money and future and career, I had this boldness that I don't know where it came from, that I thought, and I told her, I think this is a blessing in disguise. And guess what? It was. After that terrible day, I went on to create, to record music, to get back with really what I was created to do, because that job that I had, it wasn't really my passion. And God began to give me a clarity that brought joy to me and to many, many thousands of people. So when you're grieving, take time to grieve. But remember that one day, gozo will come in the morning. So that's number two. Number three is some become even more angry and violent. When Stephen dies and the church is persecuted, it says that Saul went on an even greater assault. Things got even worse because he became even more empowered with rage and with violence. And then the last step, the last way that people tend to respond when experiencing loss is some left and they created the future. Right there in Acts chapter 8, it says that Philip, and I'm sure there were others, they literally left their homes to go to a new place. Ironically, they went to a place that many considered the bad part of town, to Samaria. And they preached the gospel. They healed people's sickness and diseases. And it says there at the end of that verse, that story, that they brought joy to the whole city. Actually, let me read exactly what it says. It says here, many could neither stand nor walk. Many who could neither stand nor walk were healed that day. The evil spirits protested loudly as they were sent on their way. And what joy in the city. What gozo in the city. One event, four different reactions. Let me summarize. Number one, some stayed behind. They became paralyzed. They didn't move. Number two, some grieved. They experienced loss, and that's all they could see in the moment. Number three is some became even worse, more angry, more violent. And then number four, some moved on and created the future. And those were the people that brought joy to the city. So let me ask you a simple question. Which are you? Which do you tend to be? Do you tend to be someone that stays behind? Do you tend to get angry when experiencing loss? When your dreams are dashed to the rocks? When what you thought would happen didn't happen? Do you tend to get angry or controlling? Do you grieve? Do you get stuck in that grieving? Are you still grieving something from 20 years ago? And maybe that grief has unfortunately now turned to hate, passive aggressiveness, and violence. I remember this book that maybe you've read. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? It's the funny story of two mice who kept going to this place to eat their cheese, but one day the cheese was gone. And so it's a very funny story of this one mouse said, let's just stay here and wait for the cheese to come back. But the other mouse said, no way, we need to go find the new cheese. And it's a funny story, but I still remember it because I think, I wonder what I'm like. I wonder what I tend to do when something changes. Well, let me tell you, I can be honest with you. I tend to grieve or to become angry. But I'm trying to become the person who creates the future. I remember when our beautiful daughter, Canela, who's now 19 and on her second year, going on her second year of college, when she left home, it wasn't easy. Talk about loss. And even though people can give you all the perspective in the world about how it's going to be okay, or how one day you're going to thank God that she's out of the house, in the moment, for me, as her father who'd seen her since birth, it was a loss. How did I respond? Even though, yes, on the outside, I was thankful and trying to encourage her to to take risks and to experience the world. And plus, for goodness sake, she was literally 30 minutes away from home. Inside, I was grieving. And let me say this, there's nothing wrong with grieving. But you know what would be wrong? Is that now, a year later, I was still grieving or controlling her or even discouraging her from taking those steps. That would get in the way of her future and of my future. It's okay to grieve, but don't let your grieving become depression or paralyzation, or worst of all, keep the other person from fulfilling their dreams. Sometimes it's okay to stay behind. Not everyone is an early adopter. Sometimes you may want to just sit back and watch. But don't let your sitting back become cynicism or hate or become apathy, which is what often happens with those who stay back to watch and see. Same thing goes with anger. As I said, I also tend to get angry and to become defensive of my things or my rights or my ideas, most of all. Think us as creatives and idealists. When people don't do what we want them to do, we can become very angry because we're defending our ideals. And that's a gift from God, but it also can damage other people greatly. So you have to be mindful of that. Instead, the people that God used to create the future were those like Philip, who left what they knew, went to basically to enemy territory, to the Samaritans that was at the time conquered by the Greeks. So mostly it was Greek men and women. And he preached the gospel. He brought healing to people. It says there that the demons literally ran from him. And you can imagine what happens when the doctor's in the house, right? Everyone felt the joy of the Lord. I have a friend who lives in Kenya. He and his wife, she's a OBGYN, is that right? Yes, I think it's OBGYN. She helps deliver the pregnant women of Kenya, over 300 beds in this hospital. She delivers maybe 5 or 6 very pregnant women daily in this hospital in Kenya, with very little supplies, very little blood supply. Sometimes she even has to donate her own blood so that these women can live and these babies can come into this world. They left the comforts of the U.S., of their beautiful home, of their great comfy practice here in the States, to move to Kenya as missionaries, to go and give life, literally bring life to this city. Those are the people that God uses to shape the future. Sometimes it requires great risk, even personal loss. Personal loss. And I wonder if too many times we are so afraid of the future that we are unwilling to see the joy that awaits us. So let me ask you a question. Which of these 4 responses do you tend to hang on to? Again, let me be clear. It's okay that you go through these 4 things, because really they are all the stages of grief: anger, depression, shock, ignoring things, even being controlling. But the people that shape the future, that bring healing to the captives, are those who move through the grief to the greatness that awaits them. So I want to encourage you, my dear friend. Are you going through a loss right now? Are you perhaps expecting a future loss? Your kids are getting older. Your church is going through financial difficulties. Your marriage is in a moment of crisis. If you're a young person, perhaps you've lost a relationship that you thought would be your future. Or maybe you can afford the college of your dreams. Are you going through a loss right now or a pending loss? Avoid grieving too long. Avoid staying back for too long and letting that become cynicism or apathy. Avoid becoming so angry that you're hurting everyone, including yourself. And instead, hang on to God. Say to him, Lord, in my grief, help me to trust you so that one day I can be like Philip, that I can be like these men and women who brought joy and healing to others. Help me be like the missionary doctors who left the comforts of home to bring peace and life to people in need. So let me ask you a question. Who are the people that are dying to know you, that are dying for your love for them, that are literally expecting and needing you to wake up, to get out of the way, to stop your pity party, to stop the angry reactions, and to begin to move towards the future so you can bring healing and joy to their lives? Do it for them. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like my coaching, please go to davidtrigg.com/free webinar. Until next time.